Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney.
And me, Dante Bosco. Each week we'll recap and discuss a new episode.
So come join us and our amazing guests, from creators to cast to superfans, to chat about all things Avatarverse.
It's Fire Nation time. Book of Fire. Let's go. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
The Last Kids on Earth and their superhero alter egos are back in the latest installment of the graphic novel spinoff series, The Last Comics on Earth, Too Many Villains. Jack, June, Quint, and Dirk face their biggest challenge yet, creating the sequel to their hit graphic novel in a mad dash, puzzle-filled race across Apocalyptia to stop the biggest evil plan in history. Hey, you know what the creators of Last Comics on Earth's evil plan is? Make me and my kids love these books. Seriously, my younger kid is a huge fan of both the Last Kids series and the Last Comic series.
It's true.
And now I'm hooked too. The whole team has created a delightful cast of characters with some fantastic kid-friendly art throughout that will appeal to readers of all ages. Buy your copy of The Last Comics on Earth in stores today. You can also visit lastkidsonearth.com to learn more.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
This podcast is sponsored by The Coldest Water, a company at war with hot. They believe that the coldest things are the best things in life. Built for athletes and high performers, they are famous for creating the coldest water bottles, to the coldest pillow, to the coldest ice packs. They have even developed the coldest dog bed and dog bowl to keep your furry friends cooler during the hotter months. Get 10% off your first order by using the code CBC at coldest.com. What is up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are coming to you live a couple of places on the internet. We are live over on YouTube, we're live on Crowdcast, or maybe we're coming to you later at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you listen to podcasts. It's all good. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate it. Once again, Justin, at the very least, is coming to you from Hawaii.
Coming at you from Maui, 1 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Maui, Wowie.
Maui, Wowie, living it up. We wrapped on my show 2 days
Congratulations.
Ago.
Congratulations.
Very exciting. Taking a little bit of R&R. I don't know what either of those R's mean.
Can we talk about, because the trailer for your show is out now, right?
So trailer dropped. We can talk about it.
Man. I'm so excited. What's the name of your show, Justin?
Senior line producer.
Not a line producer. The name of the show is 101 Places to Party Before You Die. It's going to be on True TV. It premieres in July. It's 8 episodes. It's a travel show.
Wait, no spoilers, but if you do all of them, do you die at the end?
If we did 8 this season 1, so if we get to 101, man, I die. So you got to.
That's crazy.
It'll take
specifically
a while.
You, not the hosts, but you.
Everybody
die.
On everybody.
Everyone is associated with it.
It's a whole Thanos thing. I get it.
Yeah. But it's hosted by Adam Pally and John Gabris. It's a travel comedy show. We go to 8 different cities. One
you
of
had me
is
at John Gabris.
That's a friend of the show, John Gabris. Adam Pally, also friend of the show, did the Marvel Vision podcast. Check it out, please. It's literally so fun. And they definitely cut to me randomly a lot while we were filming. So we'll see if that makes the cut.
That was a great podcast because he ripped into Zalbin right out of the box. And that was that was just so heartwarming.
I love that you're all in on the two people involved with the show that you don't know quite as well.
What about us? What about your boy here?
What about JT?
Well, I'm very excited. The trailer looks great. Everybody should go check it out on, I guess, True TV's social platforms. It's up there.
Somehow get YouTube. True TV.
It's on YouTube, I believe.
I don't even know if they put it on YouTube yet, but it's definitely on my social, on my Twitter, at JT Sizzle and JT Sizzler, and you can check it out there.
Awesome. No very excited affiliation. To watch that. And we're going to do a recap podcast for that, right?
Yeah, I can barely remember what we did, so sure. We definitely should.
Sounds good. Now, before we get to our great guest this evening, I just want to mention tonight's drink. As always, Brett Macris, our resident CBC chef, has been curating drinks. This week is a Clarito, which I would describe as a gin martini with a sugar rim. I think that's a fair way of putting it. Wow. I unfortunately did have a dry vermouth at home, so instead I made a Negroni, so I'm a little bit of a jerk. Babe. But if you want to check out the cocktails that we make every week, Patreon.com/comicbookclub. Have a fun chat in the food and drink room always about that. So there you go. Let's bring in our first guest here. Great guy. Love talking to him. Have not talked to him in a while. And he has a new Kickstarter that is wrapping up very quickly for the Daring Double Life of Ace Adams. Nate Cosby, hello.
Hey, I have an Adam Pally story.
Yes. Ooh,
coming in hot.
Did it.
All right.
Right. So there I am. It's definitely in the 2000s because I was an adult. And I'm standing there in La Colombe in New York in the Village. And I've ordered a coffee and I'm waiting for it. And there's a guy who's shaped and looks a lot like Adam Pally because he was Adam Pally standing there. And I was not trying to listen to what he was ordering, but he was definitely ordering a green tea latte, which I'd never heard of before. So that's why it was of note. And the guy, the barista that was making it for them, this is not a good story, by the way, it just happened. the barista that was yelling, started hollering to Adam Pally. It's like, yo, sir. And Adam Pally was staring at his phone. Right. And I said, excuse me. And I got a look that I will never forget, the side-eye glance of a celebrity that thinks he's been spotted.
Right.
But right. I got the side-eye look of that. And I said, I think that guy's trying to ask about your order. And then suddenly it went from side eye to like disappointment that he was not spotted. And so he then helped the thing and he said, thanks.
That's a range of emotion you got to witness there.
Like,
only
a
true actor could like give off in those seconds. That's impressive.
Yeah. Wow. I love Adam Pally. Like he did one episode of what was it? Like the Late Show before James Corden came in.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you guys know about this? He did that one episode with what's his name? It's Sonic.
Ben Schwartz.
Ben Schwartz did one episode after Craig Ferguson left that I really love. I watched that thing like 5 times. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Yeah,
Oops, and that's why we had you on, Nate. Thank you so much for coming
thanks
on.
For really, always. Guys.
Thanks
I'll
so much.
Later.
Have a good night.
You like watching him order stuff? You're gonna love this Babble Show because he does the whole time. And he loves being recognized, I will tell you that much.
Oh, nice. Anything I can do to expand the Pallyverse, that's just what I'm about.
That's what tattooed on my lower back. It's tattooed
on my back. Well, let's talk about this Kickstarter, because as of right now, you have 25 hours to go. You are successful. I'm looking at it right now, of the pledge goal of 20,000.
You're the first person to tell me that.
Yeah, there you go. Congratulations.
Yes. You are...
You're at 27,621 right now out of 20,000, which is awesome. But this project is great. I'm very excited about this. So if anybody is listening to this live or checking out the podcast in the next day or so, they definitely should check this out. Now, this is originally called Alter Ego. You changed the title to The Daring Double Life of Ace Adams. But it has such a smart, simple concept as usual with your projects to it. Do you want to give the pitch line?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically, what if one guy was two superheroes, you know? Like, what if Batman and Superman were the same guy, Captain Marvel and Wolverine? You know, it's just like, what would, like, I spent a long time making superhero comics, and then I spent an even longer time not making superhero comics. And I just got this itch to, like, sort of start thinking about them again. And the first thing that came to mind was, like, any superhero is out of their fucking mind. And it's like, and I understand what that's like, because it's like making comic kind of makes you out of your mind. And so I could kind of relate to that in a way, but like I spend all my day making comics. I don't shut that off at night. Right. So I sort of thought like, well, superheroes would probably be the same way. If you truly wanted to spend your whole day, like dressing up in a garish costume, jumping around, kissing babies, shaking mayor's hands and fighting robots. Like you wouldn't just click that off at the end of the day. You'd want to keep going, you know, like chase the dragon in a non-cocainey kind of way. And so it was just the kind of like an OCD sort of thing. It's like, what would that guy look like? Like, what would that be? And I think he'd want to be two superheroes. He'd want to be a daytime superhero, feed his dogs, grab some grub, and then go out as, you know, as a dark Avenger or vigilante at night. So that's kind of how it came about.
I love this premise. It feels like one of those ideas where you're like, I can't believe this hasn't been done. It's so smart. And like, of course you're going to chase the other side of the superhero hype if you're in that game. It's great.
Yeah, the idea was basically like we meet the guy Ace Adams. He's a Hollywood stuntman in the 1940s, and we meet him when he's been Whizbang, the daytime superhero, for about a year, and it's going well. But the problem is like there's almost zero crime during the day, but then it's like a 500% increase at night, and he's like, oh shit! Well, I did my job too well. I brushed it all under the rug. So then he's got to go back. He's got to go back and think about it again. And like, and he's a stuntman, but he's also a failed actor. So it's really about like he gets into the performance aspect of it as well. Like, you know, his back's up, his chest is out as Whizbang. But then when he's the Black Dog, he hunches. He looks kind of like a wounded animal. He growls Christian Bale style, and like he wears this extra padding, so he looks like all, you know, like all hulked up and stuff. So. It's just, you know, yeah.
I also wanted to talk about the art here. I know, obviously, you didn't do the art, but as a longtime editor.
You mean obviously? Always, what does that mean? You don't know me.
I mean, I read the Kickstarter. You credited other people, but whatever you want, Nate, it's fine.
Hey, he's got an alter ego.
Oh, you exactly. Got an alter ego. Okay, there we go.
Steven Soderbergh is like producer, director, writer, editor of all his movies, and they're all different names. I could do this. I am Jacob Edgar as well. Come on. No, obviously.
I got news for you. I'm Nate, too.
It's
what? Crazy how
You're always really good at casting a team, like putting together a team of artists, colorists, letterers, etc. This has a really great Darwin Cook-esque feel for it. I assume really that's cool. Kind of what you were going for with the art.
Definitely,
right?
Definitely. Like the two like urtexts of this project are DC The New Frontier and Catwoman Selena's Big Score. You know, it's like those are two different Darwin Cook projects that he took in a totally different direction. Like you look at Frontier and it is widescreen after widescreen after widescreen. You know, it's like he did some insets, he did some smaller stuff, but like it's like 75% widescreen, three panel widescreens on every page. And then with Selena, you know, it's just like, it's these tiny little noir tinged, like almost like just like expressions of art. Like that, like it's so, it almost looks like it's painted in some spots. There's a real Alex Toth kind of energy, but on a really small scale. So we wanted to have that contrast of going like big widescreen action during the day and then like a cramp noir at night. And Darwin was just a master. So Jacob and I both took that as inspiration.
We got a question here in the comments. This is from Edward Doherty. Is it a depression metaphor with the Black Dog name? That's what Winston Churchill called his depression.
It's not, but it is. It's British for sure. Like it comes from the same. Like I think it's the Yeth dog of Scottish.
This is my
British
favorite here.
Chris Eliopoulos.
Yeah.
Heavily.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't.
No, not at all. It's a beautiful cover. It's taken from the Scottish and British folklore, the same thing that was pulled for the Hound of the Baskervilles, the Sherlock Holmes tale.
Yeah.
It's the idea of like a, you know, like a dark beast on the moors with glowing red eyes. And when you see him, like you're dead. And so that's basically the idea that's the inspiration that
so cool.
Ace takes.
You changed the title. I mean, we mentioned this up top. It was originally Alter Ego. Now it's The Daring Double Life of Ace Adams. Why change the name?
Because Mr. Roy Thomas asked very politely. Roy Thomas, for those that don't know, Roy Thomas is like one of the legendary editors at Marvel, writer at Marvel in DC and elsewhere. And I knew that he had edited this magazine called Alter Ego for several years. What I didn't know is that he also did a comic book called Alter Ego that he may want to get to at some point. And so once we launched, he reached out, he was super nice and like, this looks great. Obviously it looks great because Jacob drew it, but it's like, I've got this thing and I may be bringing it back. Would you mind? Like, and it's like, I have a tendency to not say no to Roy Thomas. So that was a rough, I was very happy to do it. I was kind of excited because Alter Ego was always sort of a placeholder, but that was a rough weekend of just like, I was literally looking for signs. I was going for runs, looking at signs, looking for signs. Like literally, like just give me a title, like anything. I ran through like 250, 300 different titles through my head, and that was the one that came through. And weirdly enough, Roy was the one that suggested using double. So like he said double, and all I thought of was hamburgers. And so I spent a whole weekend trying to think, and then I came.
So I ate a bunch of hamburgers.
Then I ate a bunch of hamburgers. It's like, you know what? I like these. So I named him Hamburger Adams, and that didn't happen.
Yeah. Nate, you said so. You were out of superhero comics for a little bit, and then back. Two questions, double questions, I guess. Why'd you take a break, and what brought you back? Was it this idea specifically, or just a want for that?
Yeah, well, I left Marvel like over 10 years ago, I guess. And I don't know. Mm-hmm. Like it was, I love my time there, but there was definitely like a feeling of burnout towards the genre. Still loved it. Still had my favorite comics and everything were mostly superheroes. But like, I just wanted like creatively, I just needed to like refuel and work on all sorts of different things, spy and action adventure and fantasy, Angry Birds. But yeah, like I just think like the absence made the heart grow fonder kind of thing. And this idea started scratching in the back of my head, and I just let it lie for several years, thinking, just assuming that somebody else was just going to come. Cause like you said, like it's a very simple idea, but you got to think like, why is like some people have done kind of this, but it's like, why is this not a thing? Like, why is this not a big thing? And so I let it lie. And Jacob and I were talking a couple of years ago about, we wanted to do something together, something new. And I could kind of like, he was starting to get some interest in his Batman and Superman one-pagers that he's been putting online. And I could tell that he was sort of like leaning towards doing some cape stuff. And I said, I literally have one idea. And if you don't like this idea, then we'll have to do something else. But like, this is the one I have. And luckily he liked it. So nice. Yeah, I only had the concept, like I had the basic concept and the placeholder title, but he and I really co-created it together. So, you know, it's not just like, oh, I do it all and then he draws it. Like we come up with the stories together and then, yeah, craft it together.
And for people who haven't pledged the Kickstarter yet, it's a 100-page graphic novel, right? Yeah. So they're getting the whole complete story if they pledge.
They are, yeah. I'm throwing pretty much every single idea we got about this. You know, it's like I'm not building this as a sequel. If it were to do well enough and there was enough interest, I'll gladly like stare at a blank piece of paper and see what the next story might be. But like I know the beginning, the middle, and the end. So it's like that's done. You're going to see the daring double life of Ace Adams. Yeah. And his sidekick, the Ghost Sword.
I, on a similar note, I loved your challenges section on the Kickstarter. I don't know if people know about this, but on Kickstarter, you talk through like, here's the project, here's who involved, here's what you're going to get if you pledge the project. And at the end, there's a thing about like challenges where you're supposed to put, here's the things that might be holding us back from finishing this thing. And your challenges section was like, there's always going to be problems with doing a comic, but we got this. We're good. And I was like, yeah, you do. You definitely know what you do. But I thought that was so funny to be like, yes, we're okay. You're going to get this thing no matter what.
Look, it's hard, guys. Like I make all the entire creative team do 100 push-ups and then run a lap in the mornings. But it's just part of the challenge.
Classic comic book situation.
You just got to do it. It's like, no, like this is the great, like this is my fifth Kickstarter now. And I feel like I almost know what the hell I'm doing at this point. But like the nice thing about it is like, it's like a boutique kind of storytelling where it's like, we have this idea. If you guys want to give us, if you want to back us so that we can give it to you, I feel like I've worked on comics long enough that I know how to make, I can put a comic together. I just have to figure out how to write it well. I can find enough people to that trust me to help put it together. But yeah, we're already on track to be done by the end of the year. Once Jacob finishes with this project, there's this new writer. I don't know if you've heard of him, Brian Michael Bendis. He's doing something with. It's like
three
he
names
came to me and like there's this bald writer named Brian Michael Bendis, and I was all really jealous. And it's like shit. But yeah, it's. Luckily, I tricked Jacob into doing this before he signed up for that.
Smart move.
Awesome. So you only got a little bit of time left on the Kickstarter. Are there any other projects you have coming out that people should look forward to?
Yeah, well, my previous Kickstarter, the Effervescent Adventures of Fight Bunny. I like long titles. What is it?
Yeah,
it'll be coming out later. It'll be coming out later this year. But yeah. Otherwise, just if you'll throw a backing to Ace Adams, and then look out because I got a couple more Kickstarters, at least one coming out by the end of the year. So it's
awesome,
exciting.
Cool. Awesome.
Some exciting people.
Nate, I'm definitely backing this one because I want this book in my
hands.
It's really awesome.
Yeah,
thanks.
I'm trying to do it while we're still talking.
What's up?
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to pledge while we're talking, but that's bad. So I'm going to wait one more minute before
I Nate, so good seeing you. Thanks for coming on. Yeah, congratulations on the success, and looking forward to whatever the next Kickstarter is down the road.
Appreciate it, guys.
Bye. Great to see you, man.
All right. Once again, that was Nate Cosby. Great. As mentioned, the project is The Daring Double Life of Ace Adams. It's on Kickstarter as of this talking for another
day.
This talking.
We're talking. This is just a talking.
It's not a podcast. It's a talking.
Yeah. I guess I could have said podcast. You're right.
No, don't ever. We're only saying this because.
Never apologize for anything.
Welcome That's to the exactly talking right. to.
All right, why don't we bring in our next guest here? He is a legend of the comics industry and has a new book called Glork Patrol Takes a Bath, book two of the Glork Patrol series. James Kolchaka, you might also know him from Superfuckers, Johnny Vu, a bunch of other things. James, welcome to the podcast. Hello.
Yeah. Nice to be here.
First of all, I see you changed your headphones to less bulky headphones.
I had these headphones.
Yeah.
Love it.
You really want to hear the talk.
Thank you so much for coming on. Excited to talk about this book. So this came up about a month ago now, I think. Given that, before we actually even get into exactly what the book is, what has the response been like for you? Or have you been...
Oh, You've God, been... I don't know what the response is. I think they're all ages. I think a grown up can enjoy a silly book like this, but it's mostly kids. And you know, kids aren't on Twitter really, so they're not. I don't hear from them.
Yeah, let's keep it that way.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So this talk about the series. So this like a bunch of alien creatures interacting. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So this is the first book. Glork Patrol on the Bad Planet. Now, although this is the first Glork Patrol book, it's not the first book starring this character. He was in three other graphic novels. Glorkian Warrior Delivers a Pizza, Glorkian Warrior Eats Adventure Pie, and Glorkian Warrior and the Mustache of Destiny. Wow. And he was not only in those three other graphic novels, he was in a video game called Glorkian Warrior Trials of Glork, and I did an EP of all songs about him called Good Morning Glorkian Warrior.
So you're deep in the Glork world. You're glorked up.
And so it actually started as a video game. I was like, I want to design a video game. No one's ever going to let me design a video game, so I'll just draw it on paper. And I did little sketches of it and posted it online. And then from that, somebody made a t-shirt of it. They were like doing like a series of t-shirts about like forgotten video games. And some of them were like this special, like there's the CIA, like PsyOps game. Well, it's rumored that there's this video game that does like mind control on you that the CIA made. And that's like a secret one. And so that was one of the t-shirts, and my Glorkian Warrior was one of them. And then I was like, well, this game is never going to happen. I should just draw a graphic novel because I was thinking about the character all the time. And then as soon as I started drawing the graphic novel, I met, I put out a chiptunes album, a Game Boy music. And got invited to this chiptunes festival in New York City. And while I was there, I met this guy who did music for this game company called Pixel Jam. And anyhow, within 24 hours of meeting him, we were making the game. Yeah. So it all came together, and I was writing the songs about the character at the same time. So it wasn't like, it's not like the game is based on the graphic novel or the graphic novel is based on the game. I did the game, the first graphic novel, and the album all at the same time. And by pure chance, they all came out the same month.
Wow. Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, like just perfect timing. Yeah. So then after those three graphic novels, I wasn't done. And I did some more.
What is it about this that's so sort of all-consuming across multiple medias?
Well, it's just how I roll. You know, every project that I work on, I get really worked up about it. I have this other book called Monkey vs. Robot, and I did a album called Monkey vs. Robot featuring a song called Monkey vs. Robot. So this has happened to me before. I had a graphic novel back in the 90s called Kissers that came with an album called Kissers. So I don't really like to slow down. I like to keep going.
Well, so just to jump off of Justin's question, though, what is it about these Glorkian characters in particular that's so appealing
to you? Glork life, man. Come on.
Okay.
Glork life.
Well, one of the big things for me is, so I wrote the stories as bedtime stories for my kids. And basically, this alien guy is kind of me. He's definitely like a dad in the comic. He didn't start as a dad, but like the first guy he defeats in combat turns out he's a little kid and he feels bad about it. So he lets the kid tag along with him. So then that's his kid from now on. Wow. And then
that is how it works.
That's how it works. You beat then, up some kid and then he just follows you around.
So basically, and then in the next book, he kind of beats up another kid or another, well, the kid beats up him. They find this egg, in Glork Patrol on the Bad Planet, they find a quackaboodle egg, and then it hatches. It's a very dangerous beast, and of course it attacks him, but they won't, the little kid guy, Gonk, won't, you know, doesn't want his dad to beat up a little kid, so they adopt him.
Smart. Nice. Smart.
So what about Glork Patrol Takes a Bath, just to move over to that? I feel like I can intuit there's some sort of bath.
Okay, so that snake-like thing, that's baby Quackaboodle. It's a baby space god. So it's not as dangerous now as it will be, but it's still incredibly dangerous. And he's like kind of gets covered in chocolate, so he needs a bath.
You need a bath.
It happened. I get it.
There you go.
That's the Glorkian super grandma there on the screen. She's the one that gives them missions and stuff.
Nice.
I want to actually take a step back. If these started as bedtime stories for your kids, I know you said you didn't necessarily like know what reviews thought or kids aren't tweeting, but what about your kids? Do you read this stuff to them?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they loved it. Although now they're not interested because the oldest one is 18 and he's in college now. and the other one's just about to start high school. He actually still reads them. He always says they're great. So, I mean, I am his dad. So take it with a grain of salt, but he still says they're great.
That's cool.
You mentioned earlier that you like to jump around and you get very obsessed with different things and go into them all the way, but you've also done things that like are very adult, and these are obviously very kid at the same time. Is there one you prefer, or do you feel like, is there a point when you're doing a lot of these more all ages things like Glork Patrol where you're like, no, I gotta do something that's more intense and just wash it out of my brain?
I'm happy to do the kid stuff forever.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop doing other stuff though. I still, like I did, on my Patreon, I did this, I serialized this comic called Moon Book Prototype about guys, you know, like these like guys in battle suits on the moon, just having a, you know, really vicious, bloody battle.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, once the blood gets in there, it's really not for kids anymore.
Do you think at this point,
although
is there...
they kind of, they like it, you know.
Yeah.
The kid, you know.
And kids like it too. My son is 7 and he's constantly talking about violence and whatever else. So it's just, it's part of the age group. Is there going to be more Glurk Patrol? Are you working on a third book?
Yeah, just finished the third book. I just sent it to the, you know, top shelf in IDW's staff designer, who's going to put it together and send it to the printer. I don't know. I think we're early, like way early.
Just put it out there. Just print it. Put it out there. That's fine.
Well,
don't
like,
worry.
I think they picked a date, like around this time next year. For the book to come out, assuming that I would finish it like late summer, but I finished it a month ago.
Wow.
That's great. That's a good feeling.
How's the schedule?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Doing your homework. Great.
Looking forward to that.
I'm like so far ahead of schedule all the time that I have to just come up with new stupid projects, or sit around and do nothing. So I just started a new comic, which I'm serializing on my Patreon called, and okay, so I've got a million ideas for great books, right? And sometimes you've got a great idea and the idea of the feeling of actually starting it just hurts too much. Like, you know, it's going to be such hard work. And you're like, and what if it doesn't come out good? So, you know, that's the thing that people struggle with a lot. Like, they might call it writer's block, but they're like, sometimes they're just worried. Sometimes you're worried that an idea is stupid. Like, maybe it's not good enough. Like, and then, you know. But I had plenty of ideas that I knew would be great, but I found them sort of exhausting. So instead, I picked what I was pretty sure was my absolute worst idea, which is I'm going to do a story about a kid's elbow. So it's called, the book is called Jimmy's Elbow, and it's about this kid with an elbow. And he can bend. Anyhow, I'm like 6 pages in, and so far it's awesome.
It's
the most mindless comic in the world. Now,
Jimmy's Elbow.
I don't really know 100% what's going to happen, but he bumped his elbow. And I'm pretty sure his elbow died.
Oh, man.
Boiler. Oh, that went way darker than I thought it was going to.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be this new character, which is going to be Elbow Ghost. He might just call himself Jimmy's Elbow. I don't know. I haven't decided. But yeah, a ghost comes out of his elbow. And, it's gonna be so epic.
I can't wait. That sounds awesome.
I love your enthusiasm for all the things you're working on is so like palpable. It doesn't ever exhaust you. You're just always like, I gotta get the next.
You gotta kill in pitch meetings. You just go in and destroy.
I'm pretty good at the pitch.
Yeah.
I should, while I'm here, mention I've got another series too. I draw way too many books, but
a stack of books in your hand. You're like, what about this?
This is another new series, Banana Fox. So this is Banana Fox and the Secret Sour Society, and this is with Scholastic. Then after this is Banana Fox and the Book Eating Robot, which came out last fall, and coming up in May, just in time for my birthday, is Banana Fox and the Gummy Monster Mess. Okay, now Banana Fox is you probably can't even tell by looking, but it's a detective series. Actually, this little girl is the detective, and he was a detective, but really he's just a bumbling idiot. And so the Secret Sour, he defeated the Secret Sour Society and put them in jail and became a big hero. And he's just resting on his laurels. But she has reason to believe that the secret sour society still exists and is out there, secretly controlling things.
So to the banana bike, I guess.
That's right. And stuff. I had a banana bike when I was a kid. Not this kind. But you know, banana seat bike.
The banana seat bike. Oh yeah.
The long seat and the.
There was always one kid in the neighborhood. Yeah,
Just the Harley Davidson of bicycles.
Yeah, exactly.
What a flex.
Man, James, that's amazing. All these books sound absolutely fantastic. Excited to hear whatever happens with the elbow going.
Yeah, I know that. I'm curious.
Can't wait for the elbow goes.
James, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. I hope I didn't, overwhelm you with my.
No, I love it.
I love it.
Oh, it's great.
It's pure joy. You can just hear it when we're talking about everything. It's great.
James, thank you so much for coming out again. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Once again, that's James Kolchaka. The book, one of the books he talked about was Glurk Patrol Book 2, Glurk Patrol Takes a Bath, which is out now from Top Shelf, and it's a lot of fun. And definitely check it out. This podcast is sponsored by The Coldest Water. Get 10% off your first order by using code CBC at coldest.com.
Hello, this is Lafayette.
And I'm Carlos.
From Nerds Talking the Podcast.
That's right.
Where we talk about everything from UFOs.
Yep.
Comic books.
I like that.
Movies.
Uh-huh.
Streaming services.
Yeah.
Conspiracy theories.
Oh.
Ghosts.
Mm.
Video games.
Yeah.
And more.
Kick ass.
All on Nerds Talking the Podcast.
You can find us every Friday with new episodes on all digital platforms where you find your favorite podcast, Nerds Talking the Podcast.
Now back to the show.
Are you looking for a D&D podcast with a dark side? Something more like Game of Thrones and less like Monty Python? Tale of the Manticore is part dark fantasy audio drama, part solo D&D RPG. There's no plot armor here. The dice make all the important decisions. Join me as I resurrect the excitement, wonder, and emotion of old-school D&D. Made for a mature audience, Tale of the Manticore is both a fiction and a game. It's the story where chaos rolls.
And folks, we are going to move to our next section, which is my favorite section because you all make it up. It's your audience question.
Yes.
And for audience questions, all you have to do is drop a question in the YouTube comments or drop a question over and ask a question, and we will get to them. But first, Pete, it sounded like you had something to say.
Pete has a question. Kicking off audience questions with a host question, naturally.
Well, it was one of those things where you wonder, like, what kind of person writes kids' books? You know what I mean? Like, are you like a super amped person that's got like all these like crazy ideas? And like, yeah, that's exactly who writes.
Sometimes you are that.
Yes. He's got a like garage full of ideas and he's just cranking them out. And it's, it was just funny to see somebody in their kind of like place cranking out the ideas. And the fact that like, the amount of confidence and that he's like, even in his bad ideas is just, it's impressive, man. It's fun to kind of witness that.
All right. Why don't we go some questions here? This first one, is from Luana Nana. Pete, where is Kitten's leash? I want to try to bring her outside for chill porch hangs.
Yes, what is happening?
Is my favorite. We have a new segment on the show. It's Pete's Pretty Kitty Update. And let's go now to our correspondent, Luana Nana.
Pete, where's the leash?
Where's the leash, Pete?
It was hanging up, but as we all know, the thing fell off the wall. You ripped it off the wall, so we had to install new hooks. But it's not where it should be, is why she's confused.
This is so dramatic. One update from our correspondent. She said, I did not rip it off. Where is it now, the leash? She's speaking.
Yeah, you still haven't given the answer of where the leash is.
Answer the question. Did Pretty Kitty get her 6 p.m. snack?
You know she
answer
did.
The question.
You know she did. But, while we're talking about this, this is a good reminder. It's almost 8 o'clock. Luana, don't forget to puff the fluff, all right?
Okay, we're in. She says, I did puff the fluff. Done
already.
Let's never define what that is again. I still.
Can't believe
this. Listen, a little window in the LePage household.
This is great. This is my favorite segment on the show right now. All right, why don't we move to another question here? This is from Edward Doherty. Remember back in the 90s when Marvel gave Joe Quesada access to a few of their underperforming characters for the Marvel Knights imprint? Which modern creator do you think could do a similar job today, and which lesser characters would you like to see them use?
Great question. Hard pivot from the nonsense we were just talking about a real deep comic book question. What are some of the characters that are in this world that the characters that are right for the Marvel Knights treatment? Who are we talking about?
To see a Daredevil, a Moon Knight, a Punisher, a Blade.
Alex, those are the ones that already got that treatment. So I think the question is, the spirit of the question is, what other characters do you think are ready for them?
So Moon Knight or Blade or Punisher.
This is good. Let's go back and talk about the leash more, because she still doesn't know where the leash is. And a lot of people, Sarah without an H, saying, what's up with Toffee? Maybe Toffee from Riverdale is Pete's cat. Pete is the one who has Toffee. Have we even approached that?
No way you can prove that, man.
You didn't say no. That was interesting. Modern creator that could probably do a similar job. I feel like Tom King could do something like that. I mean, he's not exactly doing that sort of thing over at DC. His stuff is a little more, mannered, I guess, is maybe the right word for it versus the Marvel Knights stuff.
It's not directed toward gritty, I don't think. I think sometimes it gets that way, but the Marvel Knights imprint was all right, we're going to get into some fucked up territory with all these characters.
To be honest, this is not exactly answering the question either, but we've talked about this a little bit. I would love to see Brian Michael Bendis attempt something like that in the DC universe, because I feel like he's going in the opposite direction. He's doing big, he's doing bold, he's doing superhero. We just read his Daredevil run, or a piece of his Daredevil run, for the Stack podcast. And I'd love to see him take that to a street level DC hero, have him write Manhunter or something like that. That would be awesome.
Let me throw what's Alias? What's the Alias for DC Comics? Because that, what was so great about that book is it was right next door to all the superhero characters and dealing with some of them in different ways, but it was just a great hard boiled Marvel Knights style detective comic.
I mean, to throw something out that would probably work in a very similar way, it wasn't Countdown. What was the name of the book that he just did? The miniseries Checkmate. Checkmate. So for anybody who didn't read Checkmate, it was this book that was a bunch of different heroes thrown together going against Leviathan, another spy organization. But it was very clear to me, at least, that where his heart was, it was writing a Lois Lane book. And I feel like he should have just done that. Get rid of everything
that's
else.
That's the perfect answer to the Alias thing we just said.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, just keep going with that. Follow Lois Lane. Do a Lois Lane book, because that part was great in that book.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. What about getting into, this is a weird answer, but a New Warriors Marvel Knights. No one's doing anything with the New Warriors characters right now, and I feel like they've been pressed through so many weird things with Speedball and Penance and all that. I feel like doing something that got into a little bit more edge, made it more like the recent Runaways run, which felt was so good, and felt like making those characters dealing with real, more real situations.
Yeah. Why don't we move to a question over here on YouTube? This is from Stanley. When traveling for work or fun, do you like to read comics more or less than normal?
Great question. I definitely have more time to read comics, I think, when I'm on the road. But it makes me want to read different stuff, something from the past or something that I wouldn't normally read, just to take advantage of that bonus time.
Yeah, nothing like some bonus time.
Yeah, when you don't have the responsibilities of rehanging the leash hook.
Yeah, Pete, are you going to answer the question, or are you just going to razz your friend Justin?
Yeah, I already did. I said the leash was in the kitchen. I don't know what else you want.
No!
Reading comics, the current question.
Oh, my God.
Get your head out of Puffing the Fluff and focus on the show.
I do try to grab different books for, you know, hopefully relaxing time. Then in my mind's eye, I'm going to have like all this free time and I'll be able to like read on a beach or something like that. That never really happens. It's usually just like in the airport when I'm waiting. You know, I'll get a couple minutes to kind of read something. But yeah, I try to have big hopes and dreams of having bonus time where I can just read comics, but it doesn't seem to work out.
I usually, and this, I don't know the last time that I really took a vacation, but whenever I'd fly, I usually load up my laptop or back when I was using an iPad with comics, because that always felt like a nice thing on a flight where you could read a couple, watch a movie, read a couple, you know, do something else, eat some lunch or whatever. Like
talk to the stranger next to you for 4 hours.
Like, exactly. Just like talk their ear off, whether they want it or not. That sort of thing.
Exactly. Sidebar, on my flight to Maui, the woman next to me, we sat down. I was like, hello, hello. She put a blanket over her head and sat there for 5 hours with a blanket over her whole body.
Oh, beautiful.
That's living the dream. That's perfect.
I had to go to the bathroom for so long, but I didn't want to get up to disturb whatever fugue state that she was in.
That's amazing. You should have cut two holes in there so she looked like a ghost. That would have been fun.
I don't know if that would have been kosher.
Just watch the elbow. Make sure no ghosts are coming out of the elbow.
Yeah. Ghost elbow. This is a question from Jolene over here, randomly thinking about if Magneto is introduced into the MCU and wondering if they decide to keep to his comic origin, would you rather they cast an older actor like the original X-Men films or a younger actor, explain it away with superpowers like the First Class era films? I myself kind of want to see a Jim Lee styled youngish Magneto who's also super ripped and has glorious hair.
Wow, yeah. That's very specific.
I'm with Jolene on that. I think Magneto needs to be this sort of stallion dude who is like, I feel like that's
Fabio type of hair kind of thing going on.
Not Fabio. More like he's like the Jim Lee era in the comics, like this sort of like gray haired, but like still young ish Magneto who is just intense in every way all the time. I feel like we have to break away with the World War II origin at this point because it just doesn't make sense anymore
with time
for movies. With time.
I mean, it really depends on how they're going to do X-Men, right? Like if they do a 1960s X-Men, like if they do a vintage one and go back in time, they could do it that way. But to your point, if it's taking place in, I don't even know where we are in the MCU now, what is it, like 2025 or something like that? Oh, no, I guess they're at, like, 2023, 2024. We're almost caught up. That if you do something like that, you either need to ignore it or shift the timeline or something like that. But, yeah, whatever it is, there's a lot of different challenges I feel like they have with X-Men, and I almost hope they take an entirely different take than the previous movies, whatever it is, including Magneto.
Yeah.
This is a question here from Kevin. If you could design a packaged food item based on a superhero, what would it be?
Packaged food item. Let's
see. How long
do
you think you could package ribs?
Which superhero is this?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of packaged food. That would
be you're thinking of food. You're starting with the food.
Naturally. Okay. Rib, you're going to go to a gas station and be like, what ribs do you
Can
have?
Can I get some packaged ribs, please?
Just a rib in a plastic wrap on a heated roller just forever spinning.
Yeah, Kevin's saying like breakfast cereal or a snack or ... ribs is, I assume, the rest of that sentence.
Yeah.
What kind of superhero would be on a package of ribs? This is a good question.
Beast?
No. A ribby? I mean, I feel like it could be a Mephisto thing because sort of red, demonic. If you eat it, it's a sin against your own body.
I mean, Beast could be on something for like blueberry pies or something like that. Blueberry hand pies.
That's good. You're always going to hand pies.
You want those houseless pies.
I don't need a hand pie.
Are there any other snacks? I have never tried another snack. So
Fun Dip. I mean, that's a good hand snack right there.
What like a snowball for Foggy Nelson that tastes like being a failed lawyer?
You're a piece of shit.
What about like Ragdoll's pretzels?
Yummy. I mean, what super character is associated with food so directly?
Probably Deadpool, Deadpool chimichangas.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
good. You can do that. Wolverine beer.
I love a prepackaged beer. Just that, like one of those, like those pickles you get in the little like pickle pocket or whatever it's called.
But it's just loose, I'm sorry, what? Beer. The pickle do you pocket, know about you never... some kind of pickle technology that I don't know?
I'm not a Dorset pickle pocket. Don't buy one of those little plastic wrapped. I think it's called pickle pocket. Am I making this up? Can anyone back me up on pickle pocket?
I don't think that's a
real thing. I don't think bag, anybody
it's
can. Like
it's a pickle bag.
A pickle bag?
Don't eat it. I love pickles, and even I won't. I eat a pickle in almost any circumstance.
Yeah,
I won't get I won't get a pickle pocket.
You won't get a pickle pocket. If there's somebody selling jars of pickles fresh and they got a couple pickle pockets, you're not going to get into it.
If there's a fresh pickle pocket.
I knew it. So don't say you're not into pickle pockets. You know damn well you are.
We got one more question here over on YouTube. The question is, when are you guys going to finally do the Doom Pod Troll podcast?
Oh,
you know what? You guys gotta we get stop this question so mean. A lot.
And I think, we've said, and I stand by this, in Stray Bullet, mm-hmm. we will never do Doom Patrol.
I agree.
Stray Bullies. Stray Bullies just loves us, and you guys can't be nice to Stray Bullies.
No. I agree with Justin. We will never, ever do the Doom Pod Troll podcast. But how about this? What about it if instead we do the Doom Room podcast?
Ooh, I like that name. Ooh,
that's a good idea. That's a good name for a podcast.
What if?
Here's the thing. Here's the thing.
The Doom Room!
It would be so time-consuming. How would we ever have time for something
like that? Well, what if we already did it?
Wait.
We were already in the Doom Room?
Yeah.
We've already recorded 34 episodes of a podcast.
That sounds crazy.
That seems insane. Sick.
Yeah.
That would be crazy, because why would we
do
that secret?
Okay, what if we add 34 episodes, 3 full seasons of Doom Patrol, and what if we launch them just now, live on the show, exclusively for Patreon supporters at patreon.com/comicbookclub?
But here's the thing. Pete would have blown the secret at some
point. How to somebody.
How could we have done this? How could we have done this?
Well,
Pete wanted to lose his shit a bunch of different times after every season, but nobody would let me.
So
I can't believe we've done this already.
So there you go. Just to be straight up about it, yes. We have recorded 34 episodes of a Doom Patrol podcast that are live right now for Patreon supporters. We will be rolling them out publicly in their own dedicated feed, one a week, starting next week. But if you want advanced access to all 3 seasons, all 34 episodes of the Doom Room, here, just so you know that it's not a joke, I'll bring this up right now, right here. Hold on. Here we go. There we go. There you go. People are watching live. Welcome to the Doom Room, a Doom Patrol podcast. It is all live right now. There's an RSS feed. You can listen online. It's all available. And then when season 4 comes around, we will be covering that as well.
It drops. You will notice some Stray Bullets, some Easter eggs throughout the recording of this podcast that are specifically targeted toward you. But let me just read some of the comments in the feed. Stray Bullet, this is a joke. Exploding head from Sarah without an H. Brett, where are you? They did this for you. Not a joke. What the fuck? They've been recording so much. It has taken so much time. This is hilarious.
Yeah. So there you go. Like I said, that is up. Anybody who is listening, who hasn't, yes, thank you all for badgering us about it. If you would like to listen to it and you're not a member of Patreon, patreon.com/comicbookclub, it's $2 and up. So it's super, super cheap. You can get it all right now. Or if you want to listen to it again, we will be launching as its own regular podcast starting next week. Thank you all. You're all very, very awesome. I hope you enjoy. And now we are going to move to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
Pete LePage.
All right. This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. It's an opportunity to win 25 free doll hairs in the form of a Midtown Comics gift card online. So you don't have to be in New York City to use it. You can use it anywhere. And yeah, do we have somebody?
Real quick, John George already calling the movie that you're going to reference, which is perhaps the earliest it's ever been called.
Wow. No, we don't have anybody in advance, so if somebody would like to say hand up or me, 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 or something
straight
like bullies, that.
Come on, bro.
Yeah, there we go. If you want to come in, that's a good idea. All right, we're going to bring in Brett here into the stream.
Brett crying, just fully teared up.
There we go. Hello.
Yeah. Is this a joke? You guys are fucking with me. I mean,
yeah. What if you got there and there were 34 episodes of just like half an hour of empty audio?
There's occasionally being like, in your face, Brad.
Dude, suck it.
Oh, dude, after the first, we did the first season. I was like, okay, we got to drop this. We can't keep this from Stray Bullies. We got to share this. And they were like, no, we got to do all of it. And I was like, this is too much.
Pete was losing it throughout the entire run of it because he was stressed that he wanted it out there for you specifically.
This is crazy. This is wild.
Well, I hope you enjoy. I hope it is up to you.
Imagine. Oh my God. Look at this kid. I'm sorry. He's just.
Aww. Hi! Yeah. Very cute. Well, to top it all off, would you like to try to win a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics? No guarantees.
Yeah,
no guarantees.
All right, take it away, Pete.
All right, here we go. Today's trivia is on topical comic news and a small nod to the legend Taylor Hawkins, RIP. Please listen to all three options before making your selection. Here we go. Question number one. Who is the new mayor of New York according to the Devil's Reign event? Is it A, Luke Cage?
Say Luke Cage.
Kingpin. Yeah, I love the enthusiasm. Or C, Mickey Sumner. So it's either A, Luke Cage.
That's
or,
it.
Yeah, you are correct. Luke Cage. All right, here we go. Question number two. Batman will have a new writer starting with issue number 125 out in July. Who will it be? Is it A, Greg Pak, B, Chip Zdarsky, or C, Rupert Grint? So is it A, Greg Pak, don't pick it, or is it B, Chip Zdarsky?
Yes.
There you go. Here we go. Last one. You can team up with who to help solve a crime in the New York Interactive Museum? Is it A, Daredevil, B, Batman, or C, Alan Rickman? Is it A, Daredevil, Del Pickett, or B, Batman?
B, Batman. You say Batman?
Batman!
Batman! Yes! Congratulations, you won a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics, and do you know what the secret movie that Pete was referencing is?
I have no idea.
I know you.
Yeah.
I know you.
He actually looks at himself on the TV.
I know you.
Come on.
Hey, we're on your TV.
I don't know the answer to the secret.
It's okay. It's a 2013 hit, CBGB.
Nice.
I can't believe he didn't know that. That's really embarrassing, Brett.
The great rock and roll star in New York City.
Yeah.
Former rock and roll.
Brett, thank you so much for coming on. Great seeing you. Hope you enjoy the Dube Room. Have a good time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Later.
All right, there we go. If you'd like to do trivia, I'm going to drop a link here in the chat, or you can check it out at Comic Book Live on our Twitter. In the meantime, new comics are coming out all the time. What are you guys looking forward to, Pete?
I'm looking forward to Reign number 4, as well as King Spawn number 9.
Ooh, Justin, what about you?
I'm looking forward to pulling up the list of comics that we read. And then saying, the Sandman universe, Nightmare Country number 1 was a fave. I love the Corinthian as a character from the Sandman world, and he's taken center stage in this book.
Yeah, I was going to call out that one. I'll also give a shout out to Suicide Squad Blaze Book 2. This is a book that almost sidelines the Suicide Squad in favor of some new characters who have superpowers and are about to die because of it while trying to fight this enemy that's even taken down the Justice League. It's super dark in the Black Label fashion, but very cool. And all of these reviews are going to be on our Stack podcast.
Yeah.
Which comes out Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the Comic Book Club feed, as well as its own dedicated Stack feed. And folks, that is it for this week's show. Couple of people we want to thank. We want to thank James Kolchaka for coming on to talk about Glork Patrol. Also, Nate Cosby to talk about the daring double life of Ace Adams. Next week on the show, David F. Walker is going to be here to talk about his new book, Zoop's Imposter Syndrome, as well as all of his amazing work for other publishers as well. Other podcasts we got. Hey, we got a Doom Patrol podcast now. You can get that only.
Check it out.
For the moment, the Doom Room at patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, Riverdale After Dark, our Riverdale podcast, is rolling out every week. Yo, and it's
our episode wild. Of Riverdale this week is wild. You definitely listen to that one.
And on a Marvel Vision podcast, we are recapping Moon Knight. There's going to be a new episode up later tonight as soon as it's live on Disney Plus. So check that out. If you want to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice. Don't forget to leave us a graphic novel request in the iTunes reviews at Comic Book Live on Twitter, Comic Book Club Live on Instagram, comicbookclublive.com. For this podcast and many more, until next time, good night.
Check out Justin's trailer.
The border collie.